back to the Hey Rody podcast, where we take a deep dive into the Ocean State. These are your hosts, Chris and Jenna.
Jenna, we're back, baby.
Jenna, hello.
The day we're recording this is the same day that our episode with Nick came out, and we were adult hungover because we had our Cheers to Leading Lady party, but like none of us were drunk. It was just like fast food.
Yeah,
I stayed up too late or like ate bad food. But that was a ton of fun. But we're really excited. We have a great guest today. We have – no, I know you by two names. Are we going by Anderson or are we going by Andy?
We can go by Andy.
Andy, sir, Urson? Andy, sir. No, Andy. Andy. And how do you say your last name? I always mess it up.
It's Tejeda.
Yes. Andy's here. So we're super excited to have Andy. Andy, thanks for coming on. Hey, Rody.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to do this.
We like to ask all of our guests the same first question. What do you think makes Rhode Island so great?
Oh, where to begin?
All right, good. I'm always skeptical because you're from here, right?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes we're from other states. Like, we all moved here. People who move here love it. People who grew up here, I'm always worried about that answer of like, oh no, this might take a turn to negative town.
Well, I find that those individuals that don't see the greatness of Rhode Island tend to be the same ones that don't leave their neighborhood, because there's so much. It's the same people that are like, you know, oh, it's 20 minutes. That's kind of far. It's like, no, it's not. It isn't. But no, to answer your question, man, like the art scene is phenomenal. The food scene is phenomenal. Right, we got PPAC, we got all these restaurants, Water Fire. Like, it's just, if you look, you'll find something.
Yeah, that's fair.
Find something. And you can pretty much get all kinds of sceneries, and just by driving like half an hour, right? You can drive like 20 minutes and be at the beach, drive another 20 minutes and you're in the woods, drive another 20 or even 15 minutes and you're in the city. Like, what?
I know. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, I love that. I know, it's so funny. Like in any other like large city, like Scituate would be like, wouldn't be considered rural. That would be like a suburb. Like where my wife's from New Jersey, like Bloomfield, New Jersey, an hour away from Manhattan, and that's still considered a New York suburb. You leave the second you get past North Providence, done. You are on a it is over. Like it is, but also the price drops drastically too. Like I just was talking to someone at the home show,
yeah,
who like lived in Scituate and saying the same thing. They were from like New York City or something. Like they lived in like a big city for most of their life and moved to Rhode Island. They're like, I love it. I have acres of land in the middle of nowhere and I'm 15 minutes from Providence.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and then like you have right on just driving through Broad Street alone, you can go through three cities.
Seriously.
Right? Providence, Cranston, Warwick, and then like where else can you do that?
Wait, Broad Street goes through Warwick? I know Cranston.
Yeah, like the very end of it. Once you start hitting Warwick Ave.
Yeah. I love Broad Street. Broad Street, Providence, and Broad Street, Cranston. I lived off of Broad Street in Providence for a number of years. I'm a fan. I love South Providence. I think it's underrated. It doesn't get nearly enough love.
It's where most of the Latino flavor is at.
Yeah. Have you ever been to that one bodega on, it must be not Cranston Street. It must be Broad Street, but kind of closer towards, towards Broad Street, towards the South Side Community Central. It's like a yellow building. It's like a Dominican bodega.
Is it?
It's across from a hair salon. I could picture it. Is that?
You said it's a yellow building.
You know what I'm talking about.
I think it's El Bombazo.
Yes. it's amazing. Like it looks like a New York City deli. Like where there's just like the prepared Dominican food. It's just like to die for. I love food, and I worked in like community mental health for a number of years, which I loved getting. So I worked with every type of human being. Like I worked with everyone. So I always have a lot of clients in like South Providence, and then they'd come and give me the tour, and it was dope.
Yeah, there's a lot of bodegas will like also prepare like sandwiches and stuff for you, and that's where you're gonna get like some of the best sandwiches.
Mm. Yeah, is it me? But how do you not love? How do you not fall in love with Anderson's Andy's accent?
I know
when you start saying things like with like a little Latin twist, like.
Oh. I'm like, I don't want to say it because it's not going to sound the same.
I was like, you can say those words. So are you, do you do voice acting too?
I'm getting into it. I'm currently studying some stuff about audiobooks to get into that space.
Oh, I know some people. We talk afterwards.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, yeah. Absolutely. I do know someone.
You know a guy?
Two.
Oh, yeah, professional. Look at you.
He knows guys.
Guys, yeah.
One's a gal, but yeah. Oh. They're a professional.
You know peoples.
Yeah, no, yes. Peoples. Professional voiceover, audiobook recorder.
Yes, that would be.
Is that their word? Recorder.
The narrator. I think audiobook narrator.
Yeah, yeah. I know a couple of people, but one person does it full time professionally, and another person who's like been trying to break in.
Yeah, see, those are goals. I just want to set up a booth in my house and just read.
Yeah.
I love reading.
I don't know if I could, like, I love to read, but like speaking it out loud, I don't know if it would be like the same.
Well, I get to combine my two passions, right? Reading and acting. So
yeah.
It's a little different for me where it's like, oh, I'm performing and I'm reading at the same time. Because when I read, I make the movie in my head anyways. So now I just have to do it out loud.
Yeah, so true. How did you get into acting?
So, and this is why it's important, why the arts program is important. Seventh grade, middle school, kind of just got plopped into a performing arts class and I kind of just took to it. To the point where my teacher actually made me the assistant director for the school play.
What?
And I like fell in love with it ever since. Unfortunately, the next year they kind of cut the program. Mm.
Sorry to laugh at that. That's terrible.
But also expected, right? Like,
yeah. It's usually the first to go or the arts, which is
kind of backwards to me.
Yeah.
And I might be a little bit biased because I am an artist. But I think the creative space is like so important because like you look at places like Europe and anywhere else where they actually treat the arts with respect, and like you see like their violence is down. Like, and I talked with a friend of mine about this a while back, and we were talking about how like their art is like crazy, but like they're not out there like killing everybody.
Yeah, right? They have like a different what's the word, outlet
kind exactly,
of instead of wanting to do crime, they're just making art expressing it in a different way.
So but seventh grade, you were a director,
assistant director. Yeah.
You don't seem like a control freak though.
No, but let me see, how do I put it? I'm not a control freak, but I do like to maintain some semblance of order.
And that sounds hard,
especially in like seventh grade,
right?
Well, I mean, you know, the teacher was there to actually back me up. So it was, the students were cool about it. So we were all just having a good time because, you know, seventh grade, what, I was like seven? Right. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I think
12, 11?
12, 11 or 12.
Yeah.
11. I was 11.
Where'd you go to school?
Gilbert Stuart.
Where's that? In?
It's on the west end of Providence.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually elementary school right around the corner called Alfred Lima that I went to as well, because I actually, up until I was 8 years old ish was on the lived in the west end of Providence. And then when I turned 8, we moved to the south side, which kind of makes sense.
I lived in both those neighborhoods many years apart. And that's
why. How many lives have you lived that you're like, right? Oh, I've lived there. I did live there too.
Don't even get him started on his podcasting lives. I
know. I've heard all about it.
We try to spare Jenna for that. That's when Jana comes out.
Jana.
Shut up. I've waxed poetic about Jenna to you many a times. So we know each other in real life.
Yeah.
So Jenna used to be a teacher, mm-hmm. which I think is just like the coolest thing. And then took that left turn and got a better life.
I know. So underappreciated.
Oh, it's
underpaid, undervalued. And it's you have to have the heart for it because America doesn't care about you.
No. I was like used as like a rag to like throw against the wall. Like parents would come in, yell at me, kids would come in, yell at me. And it was like kindergarten, but because the parents weren't showing them how to like teach with respect, like to treat teachers with respect, because they're seeing the parents yell at the teacher. They're like, oh, perfect. I'm like, you are five. You're swearing at me. Go sit down.
Yeah, that's not okay. But that, you know, that just shows me that teachers can be the president, because that's basically what the president gets, right?
Right.
Congress makes all the choices and the president gets yelled at for them.
Right. That's wild. I would love to hear more about your acting. So, like, no, seventh grade, you get the bug, but, like, at what point do you, is it just a hobby for a long time? Or what? I guess in life, there's very rarely do you have a moment like, this is what I'm going to do. It's more like a, is it more of a slow burn? Like, or did you have a moment? Do you have a moment?
Kind of. So what had happened was, you know, obviously they cut the program. And at that age, you're not really like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I actually fell in love with America's Best Dance Crew, the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what a throwback.
Yeah. So I learned how to dance. You know, I just hopped on YouTube because, you know, the era of YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was like, how to dance like the Jabberwockies. And so I learned how to pop. And fell in love with that and started dancing when I was in the eighth grade.
Are there videos of this somewhere?
Probably, yeah. Not until I was in high school, though, but yes.
Were you good?
I like to think so. Yeah. I did win my first talent show with my crew, so.
What song?
It was a mix.
Of course.
And this first talent show, I'll never forget. It was my sophomore year of high school, right? So what had happened was eighth grade, I was a quiet kid. Freshman year, I was a quiet kid. And then sophomore year, I started finding my crew and dancing with them and stuff. And they're like, let's do the talent show. I think it might have actually been the first time they did a talent show. The talent show was a mix of songs. And we were dancing to... It started off with Omarion's Touch.
Omarion, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm trying to guess what year this is. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
I think it was around 2010. Yeah, because I graduated high school in 2012, so 2010-ish. Omarion's Touch, and I remember because I, you know, was this nerdy, scrawny kid in high school that nobody really expected anything but books out of. So I was up on stage, and everybody's like, "What is happening? And why is he on stage? Like, what is he gonna do?" Yeah. So I'm up there with the crew, and the song comes on, and I hit a wave, and everybody goes ballistic because it's like there's this nerdy scrawny kid with glasses and like, what did he just do?
Yeah.
So it was all to an amazing start, and then from that we go into Michael Jackson's Beat It, and I got to show off a moonwalk, which everybody also went ballistic. Dude. For I've never been able to do the moonwalk the same way, but that was one of my best moonwalks I've ever hit, like to the point where one of my friends, because it was right before the holiday break, we got back, and one of my friends was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to start calling you the Prince of Pop from now on. Like, that's how good the moonwalk was.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's like, it's like Michael Jackson just, like, took over your body. And it was like,
you're
like, wow.
Phrasing. It's like, you do not know the... you might want to...
Yeah.
Now what we know now, maybe rephrase that statement. They might want to rephrase that. But, yeah. But, thank God he's dead. Yeah. Great musician. Not a good
human
person. I just listened to a podcast, Don't Think Twice, Michael Jackson, about like revisiting that era of it. And like, I was alive for it, but like didn't understand all of it. And I'm now more convinced than ever he's definitely a pedophile.
Well, this podcast took a turn.
Every time.
Per usual.
It's always. Well, last time was Nick's fault.
No, it was both of us.
Yeah.
It was both of us.
But talking about Nice Thing. But Beat It is a fucking perfect song.
Doom, doom, doom. Yeah, just no, using...
I gave the wrong bass line, too.
And there was like five of us. It was like the perfect... Actually... Four of us were dancing to that track in particular, so it was like the perfect amount. So on that last one, I just came in and hit the moonwalk, and everybody was like,
"Oh, I can only imagine."
So you were a little cooler than me because like you didn't do "Eat It" by Weird Al. You guys actually went for "Beat It" because
yep.
my reference point to that song when I was younger was Weird Al. Like I knew Weird Al before I knew Michael Jackson.
Yeah, and I think one of my favorite things about our performance is at the end we also did "Transformia" by Chris Brown. Because I was like the big song to dance to at the time.
Yeah.
And we were just like, if you're a dancer in the crowd, come up on stage and we about to freestyle like nobody's business. And it was a great time. And we won the talent show. And then all of a sudden, I was one of the most popular kids in school. And I didn't even realize. Yeah, I didn't even realized that like my popularity had grown that much until like 2 years after high school. And I was like, oh, I was I guess I was one of the cool kids.
Yeah, like
I could have got laid. Damn it. Could have gone to a party.
Chris.
I was not moonwalking. That's awesome. So do you go to school for acting and stuff?
I want to. I have a very specific school in mind.
Yeah. Like, so what's post high school for you? Just like you're gonna work in acting, or you're like just floating around figuring it out?
It was definitely a lot of floating around because my dad was like, "You're absolutely going to college, and you don't have a say in the matter." Even though I was like, "I want to take a gap year," and he's like, "To do what? Work? No, go to college." Which like you know, it's coming from a good place. Because that's all he really knows is you go to college to become successful.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we all know now, that's not necessarily the case. And college isn't for everybody. It definitely wasn't for me. I actually ended up dropping out because I kept falling asleep in my gen eds because my brain couldn't justify me being in those classes.
Boring,
unnecessary. See, and here's the thing. I remember I posted on Twitter one time. I was like, what is the point of gen eds? And somebody responded, to encourage open discussion and yada, yada, yada. I was like, cool, except they're all lecture-based classes with 100 plus people.
Seriously, yeah. So it's like, we're not conversing.
Yeah. So like, what discussion is happening in these lecture-based classes for these 100-level courses that are gen eds that everybody's just there because they have to be because these institutions want our money?
It's almost like it's like how they make money or something. I mean, probably there's some value to it or something. I don't know. I went to college, but I don't know. I have a 7-year-old, and I'm like, I'm the one who's the least like, I don't really care. That's not my goal for it.
I think college really only matters if you're in the STEM fields.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a really expensive networking event.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and maybe it was different even when we all graduated or went to it. Even then, like I graduated in 08, and it was even then. And then the economy collapsed. So pre-08, it made a little more sense that you needed it. But now it's like, I mean, I know there was a period, like I remember I got a job out of college, 2008 happened, and I was working at Starbucks because it's what you did. And I got a job as a substitute teacher as well. And they like required a bachelor's degree for that. And it makes no sense. So like there was a long period where everything required degrees that like I don't think I've ever really used mine.
Yeah. And now it's like, if you're breathing, you can be in charge of a class because they don't have anyone
to fill it. About that stuff. Yeah. All those like certifications you all had to do and those classes and extra hours. And then like, you have a pulse? All right, cool.
Yeah. And going back to the question you asked me at the beginning, right, about what's so cool about Rhode Island is also another thing, is there's so many entrepreneurs here.
Yes.
So many. And it's like, I don't really see that happening in a lot of other states. Like, you might have, like, 2 or 3 people that you know of that are like, yeah, I want to start my own business. But then, like, there's just a lot of people that are like, yeah, I'm going to work a 9-to-5 and call it a day. And,
yeah.
But, like, in Rhode Island, it's like, I can't sit in a cubicle.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to run my stuff like
tons of like small business and like all and various stages too. Like there's so many people whose like job is like, wait, you do what? Like your job is to run water fire or like Farm Fresh Rhode Island? Like you run a building? Like it's just,
that's like amazing.
Yeah. And there is a really, and not like a before I like call myself now a later in life entrepreneur because there's never a avenue I was after.
It's another beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, but I guess my view of it was always like kind of douchey. But now, and like being in this world, like it's really nice. Actually, your girlfriend being one of the biggest parts of that. Blake, your girlfriend's actually my small business attorney.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Nathan and her.
It's how we met. Actually, it's how Chris and I met.
Nathan, I always hate calling my business partner, but he's, I want to call him my BB, my bestie, and my business partner.
And your baby.
Yeah, but Nathan, who met Blake at some networking event. I think he was just there with Julia.
Yeah, Blake told me about that. Yeah, they kind of like talked and was like, we should talk. And then they talked and here we are. Yeah. A lot of things happened. And
when Nathan brought me in, I was like really dragging my feet. It's like, oh man, I don't want to get a lawyer. That sounds real.
Yeah. Like, at least that sounds too adult for me.
Yeah. And like, there's some money. You have to, like, there's a financial part to that. But that's also when you start to invest in yourself. It was a big thing.
Yep.
So we ended up hiring your girlfriend. And I think Nathan picked it up, but I didn't. But then she referred us to you. And sometimes believe it or not, I'm a little oblivious sometimes.
You?
Yeah. So we what a badass. So we go to meet, like, we know we met with you and at that cool theater, the S.
Oh, yeah, ECAS.
ECAS. Yeah. But then, like, we go to meet with you and Blake, like, a couple days later, and they're like, all right, we're going to be at the CIC, and it's in a secret, and it was literally in a secret office building, a secret office. Like, it was... You had to hit a special button, and then the wall opened up, and that's where we met with them. I was like,
"Yeah,
you are the coolest people." And I feel like such a fun. Like, so how do you guys know each other? And you and Blake were like, "We're dating." Nathan's like, "Yeah, Blake, you let it slip like 5 times." I was like, "I did not even hear that one." It was funny because we ended up hiring Blake, and then you ended up hiring us. Yeah. So it was just kind of like a big circle.
And we're keeping the money in the community.
Yeah, right?
Pretty much all the money that we make, we pay to Blake, we just got back from you. Right? So actually, Blake's really the winner here. Yeah. I don't, you must have, you, I don't know if you've met Blake, because you two are also working with us at Hey Rody with the Black Dragonfly event stuff.
Yes. But I don't think Jenna has met Blake, no. Yeah.
No. She's cool. I don't think not yet.
You know, daytime hours and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a badass.
Oh, well, I'm excited. Maybe I'm sure I'll get to meet her.
Yeah. Are you guys coming to Who to Watch?
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah. So how did you and Blake meet? Now, that's funny because I can never ask you this in any other setting, but it's a podcast, so I can feel like it's appropriate now.
Oh, you can absolutely ask me that. I'm in open book inside of the podcast, outside of the podcast. My philosophy is if you're bold enough to ask, I'm bold enough to answer.
I like that.
Let's use that. I'm stealing that.
So the way we met was it's so funny, and we laugh about it because, like, we've lived we live together now, but before that, we lived 6 minutes apart from each other for pretty much our entire lives.
No.
And we never had met.
What?
Yeah. And we have, what's even crazier is we have so many mutual friends. Like, some of the people I danced with in high school were her friends as well.
Wow.
And we just never crossed paths. And one of her best friends, Chris, you'll know the name, Vega, he and I work on a lot of projects together because he's kind enough to put me in, like, all his movies. So they're really good friends. And Vega and I were talking about a project at the time. So I met up with him because he was in town. And he's like, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. Here's how it'll work. Are you down for it? And then, you know, he's like, he doesn't rap anymore. He's retired from that scene, but he was rapping at the time. And he's like, I also have a show tonight. You want to come? And I was like, sure, why not? And then Blake, he had left his laptop at Blake's house. And Blake came to drop it off. And she's like, yeah, I'll go to the show. And that's the first time that we met officially. Aww. Because funny enough, we had actually interacted like a couple of other times without realizing. She did an event. She did a fundraising event one time. And I actually went to it to support a model friend that I have. And I won an item from a raffle, and she actually handed me the prize, but like there was no like interaction or anything.
Yeah.
And before that, the same model friend had lost her phone at a club. So like I'm like riding around with her, and like we're like trying to figure out how she can get her phone back and stuff. And she's like, hey, I know somebody who can get me in touch with the promoter. Can I use your phone? So she uses my Facebook to message Blake. And it's funny because Blake will tell you at the time she thought I was like a Middle Eastern kidnapper or something of my profile picture. She's like, oh my God, this person has my friend and they want money. So like she had to like call Blake and be like, no, it's me. Like we're good. I'm just trying to find my phone. Like relax.
I'm not kidnapped.
Yeah. So like when we did meet that night with at our friend's performance, right, we were talking. She's like, yeah, I'm an event planner. I do this and that. And I was like, I remember you. I know exactly who you are. And then she's obviously like, oh, you're a creep. You're a little stalker.
Yeah. First you were a kidnapper. Now you're a stalker.
Yeah. And it was like, no. Listen. This is valid. I went to your event. I remember your face. And she's like, oh, all right, cool. And then like that night we were just on the same wavelength the entire time pretty much. Like we were finishing each other's sentences and like hopping into like songs, the same songs at the same time. Aww. And we're just like laughing about it. But like that night kind of just like happened, and then that was that. And then my birthday came up a couple of months later, and she shot me a message and she was like, hey, happy birthday. And then I was like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Gotta lock that down.
And now here we are 4 years later.
Oh my goodness. It's so like, those are the best stories where it's like kind of like it was dragged out almost like the meeting.
Oh, she did not make it easy either. Like, I was like, come on. She's like, I don't know. I was like, come on. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, come on. She's like, okay, fine. Yes. And like the coolest thing about that part of this story is, and you know, obviously I wasn't being pushed, I was being respectful and all that good stuff, you know, before people are like, you should have left her alone. Right. It was, and I did it in a respectful manner, but it's funny because like, if you look at the, like my dad and his dad before him, my grandfather, they kind of did very similar things where it's like, they wanted this lady and like, she was like, eh. And they were like, I mean,
like, come on.
So I like to joke around, just be like, I'm just following the family tradition.
So because it's 4 years. So it's 2020.
Yeah.
Like pre-pandemic.
Yeah. We're a COVID couple.
Yeah. I guess that kind of advances it was you actually pretty quickly.
Right before
the
pandemic was like, boom.
Well, good time. Oh, then you got to know each other.
Yeah. So she was like, yes. And then the world ended.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's going to either make you or break you.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, that's a great way to, like, get to know someone.
Yeah.
Is during that time.
Yeah.
Like, in all of relationships, it's always, like, you know, there's, like, steps, but there's always, like, the, like, it's always like, I think the biggest one is, like, being sick in front of each other is, like, that first hurdle. Like, on Parks and Rec, like, Rob Lowe's character gets sick. But that's so true. It's, like, the hardest thing to, like, to get.
Yeah.
Once you can be sick in front of someone, I think that's when you know.
I mean, I'm also a firm believer, too, in that, like, you should be friends to best friends before you even consider dating, right?
Yeah.
And, like,
we
did that. So
yeah, you were in love first, I bet.
I'm sorry, what?
You were in love before that, right?
When
you
like the moment I saw her, I was like, oh, this girl is beautiful. Yeah. But like, you know, I was like, let's go through the steps.
It's like, I will lightly stalk from afar.
I've seen you two together. I say to all the time, you two are like the most adorable power couple.
Oh, shucks, stop at you.
They are like, well, your event on like, was that a couple weeks ago when you had your event? And she's like dressed like Storm, not dressed like, but she had like the long, she looked like Storm. Essentially.
Oh, yeah, she had
unintentionally
the platinum wig. Yeah,
it was a bit of a nod to Storm, but I was like, and then the two, like, and you're both dressed up very well because you're running your event together. I'm like, they just love each other. Like, you can know when you see people and you can just tell they actually like each other.
Yeah,
you know, or when they hate each other.
Yeah, no, we definitely take that as a big compliment because it's definitely something where it's like, you know, like a relationship is, it's not a lot of work, but it is hard work.
Yeah,
and I think like you just have to be willing to put that like. I like to say love is not a fairy tale.
No.
And like you have to kind of just do the work for it. Talk to each other. Communicate.
Yeah.
Understand. Yeah. Compromise.
You got to work on yourself first.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
It's like 90% of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah.
But, and then we're also human, right? So like you're never going to be perfect, but like it comes with, so like every, at the end of every week, Blake and I will do a check-in. It's like, how are you?
Oh, that's, oh, look right? at this.
How
good
are
communication
we?
Skills.
We ask if there's anything we can do better, if there's anything we've done better. And that's kind of how we make sure that like we're not just kind of like brushing something off that we shouldn't be brushing off.
I
like,
love that.
I highly recommend it.
I like that. I think it's cute too because you almost have like gender role reversal in a weird way because she's like the lawyer and you're the creative. So like in a sitcom, I'm imagining you're like, and I don't know this to be true, but just like in a sitcom, if we're writing a movie, it's like you'd be the emotional creative and then the stoic.
Oh, I'm definitely more emotional than she is. She's definitely very seriously stoic and like, I don't have a soul.
Yeah.
Like
philosophy too, right? She's a philosophy major. Remember her saying that?
Yes. Yes. She double majored in philosophy and pre-law.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the two like hardest majors.
Yeah.
So, like.
Okay, she's badass.
I remember saying this, Nathan, like sitting with you when my first time sitting with you guys, like, you ever meet someone like, you guys are way smarter than me, but you don't make me feel like dumb for it?
Yeah, like everyone I meet.
Yeah, I usually pretty much they think everyone's smarter than I am. It's just my base.
That's my baseline. Yeah.
It's just like normal, but like, and some people make you really feel crappy about it, but like, I didn't get that from you and Blake. I was like, oh, you guys are like, really smart, but I don't feel like weird about it.
Well, I'm glad that you feel comfortable around us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Chris, you would feel comfortable like around the most obscene person.
The normals I can't handle. Give me the extremes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm happy. Give me a good like bipolar. I'm happy. Someone with a bipolar. One of my best friends has schizophrenia. I just spent the weekend with him. But we used to work together. He's a peer specialist. And we've just stayed friends. So it's wild because like, oh, yeah, that's not normal for most people. I have some friends with schizophrenia. And
first Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Now schizophrenia. Come on, what's Chris. Next?
Come on, schizophrenia is illness, but if and molesting children is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hot take, people.
Jenna's just sitting over there like, oh my God, the editing on this.
Like, that's why I make him do it.
Yeah. You're going to do that one.
Well, let's pivot.
There we go. See, this is not, he's the real host.
Off of the schizophrenia, has Blake seen any of the films you've been in?
Yes, actually. So it was an amazing experience. I filmed something a few years back called Nico. Which just got picked up for distribution. Yay.
Congratulations. I saw that. I've seen the preview. Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, maybe I don't know where that, how much longer that's going to be before, like, people can actually see it on, like, platforms and stuff. But I'm really excited for that. But they did, it was actually, like, one of my favorite projects. Because what had happened was I just finished coming off of a play. So I'll just give you guys a full story. I just finished coming off one of the favorite plays I've ever done. That was called, or it's called La Golondrina, which is The Swallow. And it's kind of about it takes place like after the Pulse shooting that happened in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And it's a 2-character play. And I got to work with a director that, Teatro Ecas flew in from Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
And I really wanted to do it for that reason. It's like, yeah, let me work with like a director.
Yeah.
And I did that play at working with that director. It was just like a 2-month, 3-month intensive. And like ever since I did that play, I just feel like my acting has been on a completely different level. So shout out to Ismanuel over in Puerto Rico doing his thing. And as soon as I finished that, I was like, I saw Vega post up, hey guys, we have auditions for this movie, and I was like, that's a good rate, they're covering travel, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Wow.
I should audition for this. So I'm looking at the characters and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna audition for this character. And I was like, you know what, let me use my resources. So I text Vega and I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about auditioning for this character, what do you think? He's like, no, you can't audition for that character. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, hold on, let me show you something. And he sends me his pitch sheet. And the character I was going to audition for actually wasn't even the character that I wanted to audition for, because it's a crime thriller. And my dream role is to play Sherlock Holmes. So I want to do detectives and quirky characters. So I actually wanted to audition for one of the detectives, the rookie upstart detective. And he's like, let me send you a pitch sheet. Funny enough, my picture was on that detective that I actually wanted to audition for.
Oh, my goodness.
So I auditioned and sent it, and Vega didn't handle, from what I was told, didn't handle a lot of the casting. And the director, Cosmo, 2-time Emmy Award winner, great guy to work with, wow. And he's awesome, told me that like it kind of came down to like 2 people he couldn't decide, and was like, Vega, pick one. He was like, well, I've worked with Andy before, so
yeah.
So I got into it. And I got the role. We filmed the movie, one of the best experiences of my life. Because another thing that made it really cool was one of the things I've always wanted to do was be on set for my birthday.
And you were?
And that movie made it happen. And it was really cool, too, because, like, you know, we wrapped up, whatever, and finished and going. And the crew, like, we all just kind of, like, clicked immediately. So, like, we finished filming whatever. I go to the crew house, and they're like, happy birthday. Like, they got me a cake and a card, and it was awesome. Like, everybody on the crew like signed the card. Yeah,
it's like a family.
Yeah. Like, we're still there's another movie that's like going through the festival circuit that's like winning I don't know how many awards at this point that we film with the same crew. So it's like we have a family now that we can do these things with, and it's awesome. But Nico, we went, to answer your question, to bring this full circle about if Blake has seen any of my movies. They did an exclusive screening in Pennsylvania, because we filmed in Reading, Pennsylvania, which isn't too far from Philly. And So we did the screening out there, and I felt like a celebrity, and it was popped up in my burgundy suit, and it's like my favorite suit that actually Blake got me when we were in the Dominican Republic. She saw Nico on the big screen, and it was surreal. Especially the movie ended, and there was like some ladies over to our left, and like one of them came over to me. She said, "Excuse me, can she say hi to you? Cause she like loved you."
Oh my god!
And I was like, "Of course,
of course."
Yeah, it's funny because like Cosmo's like, "Yeah, you're turning out to be like somewhat of like a fan favorite." Because like my character in the movie is this guy that's like, you know, he starts off as, "No, we got to do this the right way because justice."
Yeah.
To kind of going like, "Oh, everything's not as it seems. I have to change my approach." And it's a fun watch. And Blake enjoyed the movie. And she's very much the kind of person that will tell him. He's like, "No, that absolutely sucked." like she will absolutely tell me. And she's like, "No, that was really good. That was really good." So I can't wait for everybody to be able to see that movie.
And I know another movie that you are in that most people saw. Have you seen Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds?
Let me look. I have to see a picture. Movie.
It's really good. And this gentleman right here, isn't it? Your background, right?
Yeah, I did. I did background work on Free Guy, which that was actually another really cool experience because I worked background on that for a week.
That's wild.
Oh, yes. I have seen it.
It's really good.
How did you get in that? Did you have to like, well, no, because just a background.
Yeah.
I don't know your industry. Tell us.
Yeah.
How do I get to be running around movies?
No, the way background works is kind of like you see who's doing the background casting, which in the Northeast most of the times is Boston Casting. They're like, "Hey, we need background for this." And
yeah.
You submit and hope they call you back. And that's pretty much all there is to it.
I've always wanted to be on a movie set. I've never done it.
It's a lot easier than you think.
Really? All right, I think I want to do back. I would love to do that. Yep. But you're our third background actor we've had on now. Because Denise, you know Denise Kowalczyk. I know you guys met at the event.
Well, it's how a lot of us can pay our bills.
Yeah. And then we interviewed Anthony, the owner of Skip's Barbershop, and he isn't a background actor, but he is a background scene of The Town with Ben Affleck.
Well, I'm gonna correct something really quick. Right, I do background.
Oh,
but I'm not a background actor.
Oh, you're an actor who just did background that time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Denise is she calls herself a background actor.
Yeah. See, I won't call myself a background actor just because, you know, and no shade to people who do. It's just me personally, I feel like that takes away from what I am trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
But it's always so funny because it's probably the thing you like did like the like Nico you put your heart and soul to. But I'm like, "Oh my god, you're in Free Guy?" Like, it's not how it always is. You're like, "Really? Yeah, that's the thing people get up?" But that's it's a really good movie. I watched it the other day. I was looking for you in it, and I was playing video games simultaneously. So I missed your scene.
Probably. I'm in the I'm in one of the cubicles in the office scenes.
Oh, with Taika?
Yeah. Oh, he's hilarious.
You got to meet Taika Waititi.
He's hilarious. I got to see him do his thing.
And like Joe Carey from Stranger Things?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. They're all cool people. They're all cool people. Yeah, Taika had us. There was one scene that he was just ad-libbing and just going off about it. And like they yell, "Cut," and we all just burst out laughing because it's like we were all just holding it in.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That's so cool.
You're saying that now though, Chris, because you haven't had the chance to see Nico.
No, I have not.
But
when can we see it?
Beats me.
Yeah. rent a theater and just do a screening? I don't know how film works.
Well, I don't have, like, you'd have to talk to the producers.
You got a guy who knows them?
Yeah, Vega's one of them.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever met Vega. I'm assuming Vega's going to hear this.
I would hope so. We got to get him on. Yeah. We got to get him on. We're actually filming something in Providence in the fall, so I know he wants to definitely talk about that.
Does he need dorky white guys to fill in the background?
Actually,
but just know he has to know. It'd be like that scene, like the old SNL skit with like Chris Farley, like talking to Paul McCartney. Like, "You guys will be trying to be working, and I'm gonna accidentally ruin everything." Like, keep staring at the camera. Or like, did you ever watch 30 Rock when Jack tries to be an actor? He just keeps fucking it up. I feel like it will be turned into that.
Oh wait, well, I see that happen all the time, like in the independent scene when people are like, "Who wants to fill in the background?" And everybody's like, "Yeah, we'll do it."
I'll be
and then you're like, "Action!" And everybody's just like watching the actor, and it's like, "No. Be natural."
Yeah, like, you can't stare.
Yeah, there was, because there was a project that I had written. It fell through, but we were filming a bar scene, and one of the actresses, who's the model friend that I mentioned earlier, right, she was the bartender, And we just had like regular guys there because we didn't want the bar to have to like lose any business. We're like, you guys can stay open, whatever, it's fine. And it benefits us because now we have background actors. But like we'd be like action, and then they would just be watching us like work. And it's like, guys, you're at a bar, like
drink.
Yeah. So it's
do something.
Yes.
So what projects do you have working on currently? Can we talk about the podcast?
Yeah,
we can talk. Is it still in development?
It is in development, but I don't mind talking about it and start getting feelers out there.
Yeah, I don't know when this will air, so we can maybe we'll see. But
yeah.
So yeah, Nathan and I, we've been working with Anderson to help him get his podcast started.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. How exciting! Wow, you are. I feel like busy with the acting, the podcast, and then the event planning.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you gotta stay busy in these days, and you know, 7 streams of income and all that.
So. Yeah, that's also nice.
You know, once it actually starts coming in, but it's funny because like none of what we do is consistent.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's the downside of it.
Right, it's like you need an event for the event planning, you need a gig for the acting, and then podcasting is podcasting. So.
Yeah, it's just like throw it out there, hope someone listens and likes it.
Yeah, you're good, consistent. You got something consistent going on, so people always can hear your voice. And then be like, and then hopefully they hire you.
Yeah.
Please hire me. But yeah, tell us about like what your podcast that will be coming out in the near future that I cannot wait for.
So it's called Conversations in the Creative Capital. And what it's about is basically bringing on creatives who have found success in their space in some way, shape, or form so that they can educate other creatives on how to do the same thing pretty much. So, you know, like I want to have actors on there. I want to have just anybody in the creative space, actors, models, painters, like anybody who's been able to either make a living off of their art, find balance in a day job and their art. Mm. Or even just somebody who finds success in doing it as a hobby and just
I'm so stoked for it, man. It's gonna be awesome.
I know I have like a whole list of people that I wanna talk to already. Yeah. Like I feel like it's just naturally creating itself, which is great.
Yeah, that's it's a good problem to have when you're like, there's too many people I want to have on.
Yeah.
And too many people who will actually do it.
Yeah, who will actually say yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Because I have at least 5 off the top of my head.
Yeah. Excited to see how that web and networking will bleed into everything else you're doing. It's just going to be
fingers crossed.
So many amazing opportunities.
Maybe I could also use it to kind of like push up the audiobook thing too, because people will be able to hear my voice on the mic and what it sounds like.
Yeah. Can we take another pivot to the Sherlock Holmes stuff? Because I am fascinated by that. The first time I met you, that was like one of the first things. You're like, your love of Sherlock. And my knowledge of Sherlock was the BBC version. And then you gave me the full history and stuff.
So. Oh, yeah. I want to hear the history.
There's a lot to know. So I need a question to get me started. Like, I need a starting point.
What's your intro? Like, what would you give your advice to someone who doesn't have a, like, beyond surface level knowledge of Sherlock, if someone wanted to go deeper than the
No, wait. I have a question.
Good.
Someone stop. Here. I have one.
Like, what first drew you into liking Sherlock Holmes?
So it's funny because it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, when you like something, and you're like, when did I start liking this? Like, it's kind of like one of those things. But I think the earliest traceable thing was Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes movie.
I saw that with Jude Law.
Yeah,
yeah. Is that not well regarded?
You know, I'm not,
there's so many iterations I can't keep straight.
Well, considering that like the third one is in development.
Yeah, but what was that?
I think the whole thing might have been that it's like, you know, an American playing an English iconic character.
Oh, it came the 2009 one.
Yeah, I know this. So the first, what I will say, it's one of those rare instances where the sequel is better than the first one.
I think I saw the first one in theaters.
I feel like that never happens either. Like the sequel usually is always like trash compared to the first one. Yeah.
Like, and Blake can attest to this because I made her watch the movies because like, hello, I love Sherlock Holmes. Like, you have to watch this.
Yeah, like you're going to like it.
Yeah. And so we watched the first one, and the first one's a little slow because I think I feel like it was done intentionally almost, because it's like the first one, you get all the world building and all that good stuff. And it can be a little confusing, but then you watch the second one and it's like, that was amazing.
Mm.
So I definitely, I mean, I'm biased, but I definitely recommend both of them.
that's a good starting point for someone too.
Like I do think out of the modern iterations, that probably is going to be the most canonical.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're a reader, I would suggest reading, because they're mostly short stories.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, there's 4 novels, and then the rest are all short stories. So it's pretty easy to get into. Mm. And one of the most popular ones, and a really good one, is A Scandal in Bohemia, which is where they introduce the character of Irene Adler. And, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who's the author, kind of wrote Sherlock in a way where he doesn't really care about love. So he's kind of like, he's aromantic.
Yeah.
But he calls Irene the woman.
Oh.
And I'm not going to say anything further than that, because you got to read the story to find out why he calls her the woman.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm hooked. I'm in.
Did you ever watch the Benedict Cumberbatch one on BBC? I actually don't like anything British, but I love that series.
It's great.
I don't know if I did. I can't remember.
It's like one season.
It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it?
It just got on Disney Plus.
Oh, I'm going to rewatch it. So one episode is about an hour and a half. It's like...
Hour and a half. It's like watching a movie, because like what they do is...
It's amazing.
It's instead of seasons, they call them series.
Yeah.
And it's 3 episodes each. Actually, one of them has 4 episodes.
Yeah. And it's very like murder mystery detective, but it's all modern day.
Yeah.
I think you and Josh would like it. Like
it's a modernized Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. And Benedict and Martin Freeman, and just
they're great.
Fucking kill they're great. It.
They're great.
And his wife.
There's a lot of like if you've read the short stories, there's a lot of like Easter eggs that like.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Easter eggs.
The actor plays Moriarty scares the shit out of me. I think he's on Fleabag as well, which I never saw, but he is terrifying. Like he makes me so uncomfortable. There's something about charismatic villains like him that scare me more than straight up evil.
I think it's because you start to see like the humanity in them.
Yeah,
but and also, it's like, oh.
But he also does the 10,000. We call it like the 10,000 yard stare. Like we used to call that mental health when someone's like being like having a psychotic break, where like they're looking at you, but they're just looking
like right through you.
Yeah,
like disassociating.
Yeah. Oh, actually, there's a fourth series to Sherlock. I don't know if you got to watch that, but the way you're talking about Moriarty makes me feel like you haven't.
No.
So you got to watch that one. It's bananas. I believe it's a fourth series. It's either a fourth series or like a fourth episode in the third one.
The Christmas one?
No.
Or the last season? Because they did like...
They introduce a new character.
It's been a number of years.
So you got Disney Plus. Okay. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm actually right now.
It'd probably be better if you guys were here, so I will.
I'll see myself out.
I know.
So I would do, if you want to get into, if you're a reader, I would start with Scandal in Bohemia.
Okay.
And then read A Study in Scarlet. Because once you read A Scandal in Bohemia, you'll be hooked. And then A Study in Scarlet is the first novel of Sherlock Holmes, where it introduces you to the character, tells you about him. There's just one thing I don't like about it, where they kind of do a flashback in it.
Yeah.
But the flashback takes like a good chunk of the book. So like it could have been its own book.
Yeah.
They did one of those things where literally they could have just like...
taken those pages. Arthur Conan Doyle
could have just been... So funny enough, fun fact, that book was actually not well received. Mm. So what had happened was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle had put Sherlock in a different story. Because he wrote a bunch of stuff. He actually liked to write history more than anything. And did you guys know that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who is the creator of Sherlock Holmes, also created the mummy as we know it in horror movies?
No.
Yeah.
The Brendan Fraser mummy?
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I have a sticker on my car about it. But, but like that.
Like horror mummies.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I actually have the book of it on my shelf that I have to read. It's on my TBR.
I think you're the first guest to recommend books, and I know we're both nodding, but I'm curious to see who actually takes reference.
No, like I
guarantee I will not be.
See, I am more of like, I like books more than I like the films, just because.
Oh, that's so funny.
You get to make your own movie.
I don't know, and it's just like there's more detail. Like if I ever read a book and then they come out with a series or a movie and I go watch it, I'm like, this, it's not the same.
They have to cut so much out.
So much.
Like, yeah. But yeah, so definitely go from A Scandal in Bohemia to A Study in Scarlet.
I want you just to like read Sherlock to me, but like emphasize the Latin accent.
Audiobook.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, but you're put your twist on it, or like, or make your own. Like, I'd love to see you make your own Sherlock movie as you as Sherlock, but like really emphasize the accent. I think it would be awesome.
I was actually like thinking about that not too long ago about like, you know, we have all these, because just in our, in the 2000s alone, we've had, I think four Sherlock Holmes iterations, right? Because we have the Robert Downey Jr. one. We had the Benedict Cumberbatch one.
Yeah.
Johnny Lee Miller in Elementary with Lucy Liu.
Oh, okay.
Which is also good. And Henry Cavill plays Sherlock Holmes as well.
Maybe, is that the bad one?
It wasn't my favorite, but it's
maybe
so
that's what I saw,
because he's not the main character. It's in the movie Enola Holmes. So like they create like a sister.
Oh yeah. Oh wait, hold on. You're forgetting about Sherlock Gnomes. So everyone's favorite children animated movie.
Is it your favorite movie?
I don't think I've even seen it, but just a stupid name. It's a perfect name. I'm sure it's terrible, but it's called Sherlock Gnomes, so it's got to be good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, and that's not necessarily true, because then, you know, we also have Will Ferrell's that we don't talk about, so I'm going to keep it there.
Wait. He did one?
Was it bad? I think it's called Holmes and Watson, and they just, like, made it.
That could be what I keep confusing with then, and it was terrible. With John C. Reilly? No. But I remember it being terrible. You're in front of it. Do you want to look it up?
What is it?
I think it's called Holmes and Watson.
Will Ferrell, Sherlock.
We've already given it more attention than I care for.
Oh, apparently it's terrible. Because
they made it like this whole like comedy thing where it's like, where, and like, I personally don't find Will Ferrell that funny anyways. You know, I'm sure other people do, and that's, he's successful, so like, can't knock the talent.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix?
I think that's one I saw. I love him, but that's awesome. That's incredible. Should we do another game of the this or that again for Rhode Island Edition?
Yes.
Because we did that last time, and we just started doing the. I just always like to point out, I have been doing this for 10 years. Jenna's done this for like 6 weeks. And she's so much better, and she came up with doing the this or that, and it's been really fun.
It's the teacher in me.
Yeah.
It's the structure of it.
I'm just like, I don't want to just show up and see what happens.
Yeah, by all means.
All right, let's start with coffee milk or Dell's lemonade.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh,
by the way, they're all Rhode Island themed.
Yeah.
Choose wisely.
I'm going to go with Dell's lemonade.
Yeah, good choice.
Good choice, Chris.
That's Dell's. That's the right Dell's, choice.
Yeah.
I don't like coffee milk.
Now you have to leave the state.
I know. Yeah. But I don't even like milk. I only like chocolate milk.
Oh, see? Yeah.
So here's the thing, like, because I don't like coffee. But I can do coffee milk.
Oh, I like the effects of coffee, but I don't like it. Well, yeah. I mean, I put cream and sugar in there because I don't want to taste it.
Yeah. I actually said, so the amount of things that I'd have to put in coffee for me.
Yeah,
like
I need a latte.
Yeah.
The last podcast, I just edited our podcast that we just put up. And for some reason, Jenna was talking about how she's been obsessed with chocolate milk recently.
I was just about to go off on that. So I stopped. I won't go off again.
Oh, no. It was great because I was at Farm Fresh yesterday working. And then obviously, as you know, can I tell you something adorable?
Yeah.
Sidetrack. One time, Nathan and Andy and I all met for like a professional work meeting.
Yeah.
And somehow it turned out that the three of us got milkshakes at Wright's.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, guys, you know, I think we should probably just get some milkshakes before we do this. Because like, you can always convince yourself to go get a milkshake at Wright's.
Whose idea was that?
Oh, mine.
Yeah. but you know what? You know what? It also works because now, since it's
so good,
it's a tax write-off.
Yeah, we wrote that
because it was a business meeting.
And you got right.
So true.
And it's the best. But then I was there yesterday, so I had to convince myself to get chocolate. But then I was staring at the half gallon of chocolate milk. And then Jenna's voice started popping into my head. I was like, oh, my God, I have to get it.
It's like a little treat in the morning when I have to take, you know, my personality pills. It's like.
I love the numbers. I don't know about you, but the number of pills I have to take increases as I've gotten older, from like 0 to 1 till now I'm like 6. Like, what?
Josh takes none, and I take like enough for 3 people.
Oh, yeah. He's like one of those normal people, right?
Yeah, he's normal.
Blake and I just kind of push through everything.
Yeah, that doesn't sound healthy.
I respect that. Yeah, if I could, I would. I'm too weak.
We kind of stay away from meds if we can. So.
Yeah. And then there's Chris and
I would like to, but I cannot.
Yeah.
But by the way, Wright's chocolate milk is the best chocolate milk.
I know where I'm going.
It's so good.
What kind of milkshake did you get?
Chocolate.
You didn't, like, no fun flavor?
No, I sprung for the vanilla whipped cream and cherry.
All right, a little treat on top. Yeah. What about you, Andy?
I think I just got the vanilla. I'm a pretty vanilla guy.
Yeah, but they're vanillas.
Sometimes. So says good. Says I'm a pretty vanilla guy, says the actor.
Yeah. Says like the most creative person in this room.
Yeah, I know. You're like, oh, I've just been a creative since I was in seventh grade. You're like, okay.
I know. I think it's like one of those things where you start like getting used to who you are and like don't realize mm-hmm. like how cool that actually can be when you're in a room of people who are not that thing.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to like get outside your comfort zone and meet different people and like your network events or anything. Cause all of a sudden you're like, oh, cause there's, you don't realize how like how unique it is until you talk to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you do a really good job of kind of making me pay attention to that because you're like, oh my god, that's so cool. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. Oh, what you do? What?
Yeah,
it's like
I know every time we talk. You're like, all right,
you're what? Just Chris. I think you're just gassing me up now. Like
he's like your little hype man.
Yeah, I'll take
yeah, no, it's cool though. It's cool it's though.
I mean, yeah. I wasn't.
My love language is words of affirmation, so it always helps.
Oh, you found your man.
Yeah, and tacos. Actually, milkshakes. Yeah, no.
Well, okay, wait. So you're like a self-taught actor for the most part?
In essence, yeah.
Would you say, like, to anyone trying to get into acting, like, what advice would you give them? Would it be getting out of your comfort zone?
I mean, the moment you get into acting, you're out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right, because there's a lot of factors. So the first thing I'd say is if you're doing it for the glitz and glamour, go in the opposite direction because this isn't it.
Yeah.
It's you almost have to be something of a masochist to, like, be an actor because it's like you're going to spend more time auditioning than anything else, more mm-hmm. time getting no's than anything else. So it's like, it's a lot of hard work, man. And it's like, it's not something where the director that I work with from Puerto Rico put it really great. Like we were rehearsing one time. He's like, and I was doing something on stage and he's like, no, you're pretending. Do it again. Yeah. Right. Cause a lot of people think acting is pretending and it's not. I actually, I've heard a few different iterations of it where one said it's acting. Somebody said, acting is becoming. Uta Hagen says acting is doing. Mm. So you have to actually do the thing.
Yeah.
You're not just pretending. And I asked him because they flew him out again to do a workshop and I asked him what how do you tell somebody who's not in the industry? How do you explain that difference? And he's like, well, you know, he thought about it for a second. He's like, all right. So when you're acting, you have intention. When you're pretending, you're just pretending to do the thing. So you're pretending without any like real intentions.
Yeah.
So if you're just looking to play pretend, no,
it's not for you.
And don't get me wrong, like it could help, but it's also like one of those things that like it's what sets apart the okay from the good and the good from the great. Definitely read books about acting.
Hmm.
And it's start with background work. I'll say that because when you're doing background work, it's a lot of waiting. And when you're on set, that's what it is. It's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
Right? You'll wait like a good like 6 hours to shoot for an hour, to wait again for another like 4 hours to shoot for like half hour.
Oh my goodness.
I could not do that.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why it's good to start with background because you're doing a lot of waiting. And you do that. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I could never like do this on a daily basis. Like, no, like this is, I'm bored.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to like, sit around
it's
any not longer.
It's in glamour. Especially like most of the times you're on set for 12 hours.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, like how long is a typical day on set?
12 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And not to be the star? That's enough for the ego of me would just be like, spend 12 hours just to be in the background?
If you're the star, you're fortunate enough to have stand-in.
Oh, that's true. But like, if I'm going to dedicate 12 hours and not be the main focus, like,
to get
that's
yeah, hard. And background gets paid, like, unless you're in the union, you get paid minimum wage.
Damn.
To do background. So you just get to sit in a room. And sometimes they don't even call you. Like they'll be like, okay, I need you, and you. Let's go.
So it's jury duty.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of. It's more fun.
Yeah. So what's our next this or that?
Yeah.
Well, so do you guys actually want to play 20 questions? So yeah. Like I
do we
have
time? Do we have time?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So like I have a Rhode Island like very well-known thing in my head.
Let's
and
do
you
it.
Guys have to like ask yes or no questions.
Oh, I love this.
We didn't communicate to see if you can guess what it is. Yeah.
I love this. Let's do it.
Okay. Right. I have it in my head. So,
question away. We have to ask clues.
Like,
we have to ask 20. We have 20 questions to ask her.
Like, is it a person or an animal? Is it?
What if I just go right for the heart? Because I think I know what you're thinking.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to change it because you know I'm thinking about the big blue bug.
Oh, damn it. I was going to go Mr. Potato Head.
Damn it. Damn it. That was my next thing.
God damn it, Chris.
it's like Wheel of Fortune. You just guess it right off the bat. Like, oh.
Well, didn't think this episode was going to be that short.
Yeah. I know. Like, that's so funny. I just wanted All right. You got something in your head?
Yeah.
Is it a restaurant?
No.
Is it a person?
No.
Is it a landmark?
No.
Is it a place?
No.
Fuck. Is it a business?
No.
Good Lord.
I don't know what else exists. Is it nature?
No. Oh.
Is it food?
It can be eaten. So, like, kind of.
But should it be eaten?
I mean, it is. So.
Okay.
Is it. I don't want to waste up one of our questions. Well, it's in Rhode Island that you couldn't but shouldn't eat. Is it in the ocean?
No. No.
Excellent.
Oh.
What shouldn't be eaten that could be?
Well, it's not like it shouldn't be eaten. It is a lot.
Did we ask if it was food already? Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. That's how this whole conversation started. Yeah, that's how
we got it. Chris is sorry.
This game's hard.
Oh, man.
Come on, actor. Use your acting.
I know, I'm trying to get creative about it. Hold on.
What are things? Dead air works good for the podcast.
La 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 la.
Can we get a clue?
Yeah, I'll give you a clue. It's an animal.
That's funny. That was going to be my next question.
Oh. Is it a mythical creature?
No.
Damn it. We were just that mythical creature at the zoo.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Damn it. I was really hoping it was that Yeti.
It's an animal.
Side note, they have a giant Cthulhu at the zoo right now.
Oh.
And it was amazing.
You were in awe when you saw it.
Which is, it's wild how iconic Lovecraft's like work is, but like how douchey of a person he was.
Yeah.
Never, he was mentioned in Ghostbusters.
That makes sense.
I had never heard of him until I moved here. And, but all right, so it's not an animal. Hold on.
No, it is.
It is an animal. It is an animal. Yes.
That is it furry?
Eat.
No.
Do reptiles count as animals?
Yes, and it's not a reptile.
We just got a free question. Out
of You're welcome.
Animal?
Is it a mascot?
Kind of. Yeah, I'd say it's like a mascot.
Are we getting to the bird world, do you think?
Is
it a bird?
Yes.
Is it the, what's the national bird of Rhode Island? The red... The Rhode Island Red?
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. You got it.
Damn.
Yeah, so she's like, yeah, people eat it.
I was going to be like, ostrich, penguin? Good thing we kept Rhode Island to it, too.
I think we were, what, at like 15 questions-ish?
Yeah, it was under 20.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I like that a lot.
Well, thank you. Came up with it from Google, so I can't take the full credit.
It would have been kind of embarrassing if I lived my whole life essentially in Rhode Island and wasn't able to figure out our national bird, which is an interesting thing that like states have birds.
Right. Yeah. There's also in the last episode that just came out today with Nick. Did you know we have a state rock?
Oh, yeah. No, I just learned that.
I did not know that. I didn't.
Was it lime?
I thought it was just like a state bird and a state flower.
No. Well, there's also rocks. It's a Cumberlandite.
Oh, Cumberlandite. Of course.
Yeah, because That's really easy to say.
You know, I actually spent a lot of time talking about rocks yesterday because of my job here as an account manager. I was meeting with our new client, Cochlin Limestone. On you drive by on 146 all the time. So I was talking to them. Really, it's super nice. And then somehow, of course, we got into a large, long conversation about limestone. And I learned a lot, and it was fascinating. Like, it was awesome. Like,
we'll save that cool. for yeah, another time.
I invited them on.
When you get the geologist.
Yeah. I told them, like, you guys got to come on. This is so cool. But, like, I know. I love anyone who just can nerd out over something hyper-specific. Because yeah. I will care about a lot of things for a short period and then never again.
Yeah.
So yesterday, for that conversation, I was all about limestone. And today, I can't remember anything she told me. But I remember it being cool.
I like to learn a little about a lot.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can, like, hold a conversation with more people.
Definitely.
Even if they're shorter.
Any recent hyper obsessions? So we're both team ADD crew, so we kind of rotate. We always have, we're always like, so what are you obsessing over now? Like right now, I've just came out of a big octopus phase.
I'm trying to think.
What do you mean a big octopus phase?
Just every night, just have to watch like YouTube videos about them and just learn everything I can consume about. Like I've just been watching tons of like underwater video, like ocean. That's it all started like I think it's Wired does these really good YouTube videos. Like it's like a biologist answers the internet's most questions.
Yeah,
it was someone talking about that marine life, and then eventually it
and
turned
they just
into
went down the rabbit hole.
An octopologist, I assume what they're called, but it was like, and then it just. I don't know what they're called, but someone who studies...
That's what they're called now.
You just termed it.
So. But someone who studied octopuses, and by like, the end of it, I'm just like, oh my God, these are the greatest creatures in the world, and they definitely come from space. And like, they could be aliens, but yeah.
Octopologist. That reminds me of that Facebook post about the guy who said his daughter called the aquarium the water zoo.
Oh my God, she's not... Oh, fuck, that hurts. Do you have any recent obsessions for yourself?
For me, I've kind of just been like on a gaming...
What are you playing?
Situation. I actually, right now, I'm playing Palworld with my brother and my cousins.
Is that a system or
it's a console
or PC?
Both. It's on PC and Xbox.
I just got it.
A lot of people know it as Pokemon with guns.
Wait, what's this called? Oh. I want to try it. Yeah. We just found out we like Pokemon yesterday because they had a mythical creature that looked like a Ninetales.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Ninetales is a mythical creature in Japanese culture.
That's where Pokemon. But they had one at the zoo thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like a Pokemon.
Yeah, you'll hear about the Ninetales in like a lot of anime and stuff.
And I was trying to convince the guy, one of the volunteers, I was like, you know, you guys should like talk to Niantic and see if you can get a licensing deal and do this, but with like Pokemon, you'll make a lot of money. The guy said,
okay.
The guy just volunteered. I don't know why you're telling me this.
Like, I mean, Pokemon Go is kind of like falling off and it's just getting worse and worse as time goes. Like the community is just like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Still big in Japan though, and like Korea and stuff. It's like big
there. Yeah, that makes sense though.
Do you have any obsessions currently, Jenna?
Scallion pancakes.
Ooh.
I've had it for like
nice
for dinner. Just one scallion pancake for like a week.
Those are dope. We just had some too. Oh my God. It actually made me think because our future guest of ours, David Morales, one of my favorite people, just had some Instagram with some chef going to all the Thai restaurants around Providence. And they had like scallion pancakes. And we had just had Thai and we had scallion. It made me think of that. I was like, ooh, we should go get scallion pancakes at every Thai restaurant around here.
Say less.
Anyone
like Jenna's ready for it.
You got to do it quick before this hyper fit.
Yep, yep.
Goes. We might be out next week. Yeah.
No, but it's funny because I'm actually like in the middle of like three different games right now. So Palworld is one of them. And we kind of like set aside a whole night just like for all of us to play. Because, you know, as adults, we pretend to be busy and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I'm so busy, people. Just so busy. And half the time, just lying.
It's
down
like me laying in bed. Yeah.
Yeah. So like we play every Thursday nights and it's really fun. And like they did a lot of stuff that like we wish that like Pokemon would have done. So it's really funny to check it out. And then there's this like other game that me and my brother got into called Albion Online, which is kind of like sandbox style, but not really. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of like RuneScape. That was like my first MMORPG.
I played that and I had, you just like triggered a memory.
Core memory unlocked.
Oh my God. I remember my name. It was Silva Fox. But now it's like, what was I thinking? But I had all like the armor. Oh my goodness, I loved
and
RuneScape.
It's still as big as ever too.
What was it on?
PC.
PC.
Yeah, so like you know you'd be playing on your like dinosaur of a computer.
Yeah.
With the big back and everything.
You know, you were a gamer kid, but too.
Me? Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I was like 8 years old playing RuneScape. Like, I had no business being on the internet.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of, like, weird stuff going on in it, too. I'm like, I'm just going to go to, like, somewhere else, a different house. Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
so Albion kind of feels like an elevated RuneScape of sorts. Because you kind of, like, because they kind of took a sandbox approach where you have to, like, basically craft all your gear and everything. Like, everything in Albion is, like, player crafted.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So, like, you can, like, buy it from, like, other players and things like that. So it's, like, really cool. So me and my brother are, like, really into that right now. And we're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And we're going to build our own island. And it's going to be awesome. And then we actually also just got into a closed beta, which is really cool, for a new MMO that's coming out. And we're checking that out to see if, when it comes out, if we want to play it with our cousins.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is, closed betas are bananas. Because, like, I tried to log in last night, which is when the closed beta started. It's like, you are number 10,776 in the queue. It's like, well, I'm not playing tonight.
Well, yeah, not tonight. It's like the Taylor Swift tickets.
Oh, God. So I know we actually kind of got to start wrapping up. I'm so sorry, largely because I actually have a meeting with someone who I met at your networking event at 12 today. Nicholas from Signage.
Sign Gypsies. Yeah,
yes.
Nick is awesome.
And his wife, I don't remember her name, but she was
Kiri.
Also, it turned out she was a doula, so, like, immediately we just just connected. They were so lovely.
Yeah, you definitely talked to her about her, but it's crazy what she does.
Yeah, we used to do, I loved our doula. I could do a whole episode on why they're amazing. They're incredible. But kind of like the last thing we like to ask people before we kind of wrap it up of, favorite's too strong, but give us some good places to eat.
Wow.
Where are your go-tos? Or sometimes, it always confuses people, so we can get hyper-specific. So let's set the tone. It's Friday night, shitty weather, but not shitty enough where you feel bad about a delivery person coming out. You and Blake are going to cozy up and watch our Sherlock gnomes. No, a real Sherlock movie. What are you ordering?
Oh, see, no, because that...
Or are you in a mood where you're going to go pick it up because you want to get points from the lady? Like, you know, it's open. Like, what's your comfy movie food?
Comfy movie. See, that kind of, like, changes the question entirely, though, right? Because it's like, we don't like to order, like, burgers to get delivered, because
that's why we ask. We want to hear what do you like,
but we love burgers, so, like, so I feel like those are, like, two completely different questions, so I'll answer both of them. If we're getting delivery and just kind of, like, staying home, we'll usually get, like, pizza.
But from where?
Either Wise Guys or Boulevard.
Ooh.
On Narragansett.
Yeah.
Boulevard.
Do you ever do Epsara?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's my spot, too.
They're good.
All right, now burgers, though. Where are your burger spots around here?
Oh, burger spots. If you want a good smash burger, we like Providence Burger Bar.
Ooh.
Harry's is also really good with their sliders. I love their Southwest turkey avocado.
So good.
It's delicious. And it's so funny because, like, we went to Harry's a couple of times and it got to the point where, like, one of the servers, like, knew us on a first name basis and we're like, yeah, you're our friend now.
Yeah. Have you been to there?
No, I saw you post about that actually, and I was like, I should go check that out.
Yeah, it was right by Dead Beats, so it's like it's like walking distance. It's where Bucktown used to be. So good.
And it's another burger spot, right?
Yeah, it's
Do they cook their burgers to temp? Because I'm trying to find a good place to cook burgers to temp, and it's, I don't know why more and more places are doing smash burgers as opposed to cooking to temp. And it's like, I want a good medium well burger. I want the juices to come out the meat. Like,
oh yeah, they're smash. So if you're liking that, you want, like, a thick, like, oh, Red Stripe does a good burger to temp.
Red Stripe?
Yeah, on the east side.
I have to check them out.
I fucking love burgers, man.
Check them out.
Wait, do you guys want to hear? You might have to cut this out. I don't know. It depends.
These are my favorite parts.
So, Harry's Burger Bar, like, I live in walking distance to one of them. So, one day, my boyfriend Josh was like, oh, I will order the burgers if you go pick them up. I'm like, say less, totally fine. I forgot I had eaten an edible, and it started... And it kicked in when I was walking there. So then I'm in Harry's, and I'm like, pick up for DoorDash? And
needless to say, it was not for DoorDash.
No, it wasn't. So I'm caught, like, I'm taking 20 minutes in there. I'm, like, I'm so confused. She's like, what, like, it's not DoorDash. What is it? Like something else? I'm like, DoorDash. Like all I could say was DoorDash, and I felt so bad. It was Uber Eats. I'm like, and I'm just like barking DoorDash at her. Like,
we're
going
to keep this in. This is great.
So totally like so much going on. I'm like, I need to get out of here. Josh is like, why is it taking you 25 minutes?
Because DoorDash.
I can't, I'm like harassing these poor ladies.
I'm so relieved that that's the story, because I thought you were going to say something like crazy about the establishment, because you're like, this might have to get cut out. I'm like, oh my God, no, should we not eat at Harry's anymore? Like,
No. It's just I was completely awkward, just yelling shots. DoorDash. I know. Surprise.
I know. It's so wonderful. Oh, Andy, this has been so much fun. Where can people find you online?
Instagram at Anderson T. That's AnderSonTee. Facebook, Anderson Tejeda, TEJEDA. That's pretty much where I'm active.
Yeah, and we'll keep an eye out for the podcast, and obviously we'll let people know when that comes out.
Absolutely. Oh, you can also find me on IMDb.
Yeah.
Let's get that star meter.
And Nico.
Seriously.
Let's get that star meter going.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. And then at some point we're gonna have to allow Blake come in and let her, and we'll gush over you to her.
I know, that's so funny.
I was also very full on edibles last night, and at like 1:30 in the morning. I texted you. I was like, we gotta make sure we gush over your girlfriend.
Yeah. I saw that at 1:30 in the morning. I was like, shouldn't he be sleeping for our podcast?
Yeah, I should be. It was just like, I know you're semi-new to the podcast world. I'm like, oh, if you're going to be on it, you know someone you love is going to listen to it. You should always say nice things about them and learn not to say bad things about people that you don't want to hear, because I have made that mistake as well.
And those are your tips from Chris.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And so we'd like to close it out by quoting one of our favorite shows, The Bear. So would you mind saying, giving us, we like to say Let It Rip. Should we do a Let It Rip on three together?
Yeah, I'm game for that.
One, two, three.
Let it rip.
Oh my God.